We never know exactly what the bad guy's thinking. They unfortunately don't have a newsletter, so we can't get that information from them.
Deep within the world's most sophisticated tech companies are some of the most sophisticated tech security systems. I'm Jason Lopez for PodTech.net, inside a data center at Intel's Chandler, Arizona campus. You may wonder what kind of measures a company like Intel uses to keep its secrets safe. After this podcast, you'll still be wondering, at least about the details. But when you meet Tim Casey, who's a senior strategic analyst for information security at Intel, you begin to realize that cutting-edge tech security doesn't necessarily have to be about code. Some of the highest-level security tools sound more like criminal profiles from an episode of CSI. Casey ought to know. He's probably one of the few high-tech security people who daily sees briefs on terrorist security threats.
There's always a random element to security. You never really know when the bad guy is going to hit. You never really know when anything is going to happen. So risk has an element of probability in it. That's the definition, that something might happen. And we never know for sure.
Risk is at the core of Casey's view of security. So suppose you were going to help Intel stave off threats. Where would you start? One of Casey's tools is the risk assessment, a snapshot in time of a company's environment and threat factors.
Security risk assessment is the practice of taking a careful look at all the vulnerabilities and threats that are surrounding the assets that you're most concerned about taking care of, where you look at specific items and what the situation is today, and you and perhaps a team of people will assess those factors so that you can understand, are you looking at a high risk, medium risk, or low risk of some sort of security breach of that asset.
How hard is it to do that? How hard is it to set up a system so that you can assess risks in a system, because they seem to be getting more complex?
Setting up a risk assessment can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be. And some of that depends on the value of the asset that you're trying to protect. Obviously, you don't want to spend more on the risk assessment than the asset is worth. But at the same time, you have to do enough that you've adequately protected and understood the risks that are facing that asset. And so there are lots of resources, lots of books, lots of material online to help you get started. And the basics are the same, regardless of how small or how large that you're doing the risk assessment.
There's no risk assessment for dummies yet? Is it easy enough to do it that way?
There might be a book like that, I don't know. But essentially, you're taking a look at the types of things that could hurt that asset, from either availability of that asset, the integrity of that asset, is it still good enough to use, and the confidentiality of that asset. Some assets don't require all three, and if you've only got one, you don't care about the confidentiality of, say, your public website, because it's public, but you certainly care about the integrity. You don't want somebody getting in there and defacing it. Then you would focus your risk assessment on just ways that an attacker might deface that, and you're not worried about the confidentiality aspects. And then so you would do that kind of first analysis, first take a look at what kind of asset you are talking about, and then what's most important and what keeps you up at night about what could happen to that asset.
What is security risk modeling?
Security risk modeling is a different technique to understand the threats that are facing your assets. Whereas a risk assessment is traditionally a snapshot in time to take a look at exactly what factors are in play right at that moment, risk modeling goes another step, and it's very much like what the Weather Service does with trying to understand what's coming down the road with regards to, say, hurricanes or a drought or something like that. So risk modeling, we have tools that help us. We gather a lot of data about the entire environment, not just one or two specific factors. and then use those tools to bring that information together and understand better our environment, and then maybe even use it to help us. Certainly nobody can predict the future, but get a good feel for you know, are we going to have a good hurricane season or a bad hurricane season.
You described a number of threats in terms of the kind of people who pose as a threat. And normally we think of threats as the kinds of viruses that are out there, but within an organization you have a whole range of motivations and factors that would go into why someone might break in.
Well, that's the people are the ultimate threat. People write the viruses, people throw the bombs, so ultimately it's the threat. And we've recently started working on trying to understand exactly that, and we've created a taxonomy of what we call threat agents, and each of these agents are characterized uniquely so that we can understand exactly, as you said, we can understand the motivations, we can understand their likely targets, and this helps us in both the risk modeling and the risk assessment, because we can very quickly narrow in on just the specific threats that are really really important to that particular situation. And we've identified these threat agents, as we call them. They're archetypes. They're not intended to represent a real person, but it allows us to take these archetypes and work with them very quickly. It's very much like personas as they're being used now in the software industry. So you could call these threat personas or negative personas. We've characterized each one uniquely so that we separate out each one. Like, for example, insider threat is a very good example. Well, insider threat really includes all kinds of things. It could be the disgruntled employee, but it could also be an employee who has the best of intentions but just makes a mistake or takes a shortcut. It could be an industrial spy. It could be someone who's just opportunistically walking through a hall and grabs one of your servers to sell it on eBay. So just the term insider threat has four or five or six different possibilities. And we've separated each of those out and characterized them so that you can, across the threat spectrum, you can pick out the ones that only really mean something to you. For example, if you were only looking for insiders, then you could just pick from that list of three or four or five that were inside. If you were only interested in threats that, say, were using violence or destroying property, then you could pick just the ones from the library that do that. Or, you know, any other aspect of threat personality that you want. And again, these are not to characterize individuals, and we don't use them for forensic. We use it to understand the threat. We also have a problem in the threat arena, I guess you could call it the news media effect, where much of the threat information that we get is comes to us many times through the news. And of course, it's portrayed in a way to make it exciting and interesting, but it may not always have the best information that we need to understand what's really going on. So in addition to these personas, then, we have a group of subject matter experts who review, roughly on a semi-annual basis, review each of the agents, each of these personas, and tries to sort through what information we do have and try to find out exactly what these people are up to. And some of them may have very little impact to us right now. They're not very active. Maybe they're civil activists or something, right? And right at the moment, that's not a big issue for us. It's never an absolute black and white kind of thing, but we take the information we have, we give it to our experts, and then they can either tell us that's a low, medium, or high. Right now, we have 22 agents in that library and have a whole, which run the gamut of very low to very high right now.
Before we end our conversation, one final question. One of those that's seemingly simplistic, but interesting because of the answers it can provoke, especially from someone like Tim Casey. Why can't a security pro write software that simply stops all the threats?
That's an excellent question. And both having worked here at Intel and actually with government agencies before I came to Intel, the biggest problem there is the complexity of software that runs our applications today. You may have hundreds of people work on that software and write millions and millions of lines of code. And when you have that much going on with that many different people, it's always possible that something is going to not work the way you want. Even if it does work exactly the way you want, you follow all the guidelines, and we have very strict guidelines here on how to produce software, how to test it, how to get it approved. There's always somebody going to come along and find out something that you didn't think about. And this is what the bad guys do every waking hour, is look for those problems. Now, as we get better at it and better at it, we're finding better and better ways to not only prevent the problems, which will never be 100%, but to build in additional layers of protection so that if there is a problem, if the hacker does get through the first layer, then we've got other layers behind that to act as a backstop and keep them from getting in and doing real damage. And we try to do that not only with our computers, but with all of our systems, that we always try to have what's called defense in depth, or layered defense. You don't just put up one fence and hope that holds. You've got a fence, maybe you've got some guard dogs, you've got a detection system to see if somebody does get through. And Intel does that everywhere we can to make sure that if somebody for some reason does make it through one of those defenses, then we've got other things to back up. And that's that's a principle that's been around in security for, well, probably since the ancient Babylonians. It's how do you implement those today that's the challenge in this, and what we continually do research on, continually work to understand, and continually put in new defenses to protect our assets and the assets of our customers.
Tim Casey is a senior strategic security analyst for information security at Intel. I spoke with him in an Intel data center located in Chandler, Arizona. I'm Jason Lopez for PodTech.net.